brought a child that was from the orphanage that she'd set up on holiday with us. And I realised that for that child to be on holiday with us was an amazing blessing. And God really stirred something in my heart that actually family is what God created us to be part of. And there's something in us that really desires to be part of family. And I thought, well, maybe when I'm older, I'll adopt a child from South Africa. So in my later teens, I had a conversation with somebody and shared that that was on my heart. And they said, what about all the children in the UK that need to be part of an adoptive family? And that just was part of my processing over the next few years. And I got married and my husband and I decided that we would make our family through adoption. But some children that are in the UK that needed to be adopted, because there are lots of children that need to be part of a family in our country. So I'm going to just share a little bit of what God's put on my heart for us to understand what it means to be his adopted children. Because I think before we think about what it means for children in our country to be adopted, it's really helpful to think about what it means for us to be adopted into God's family. So I'm going to share with you from Galatians 4, I think the verse, wow, it's small. I'll read it. Don't worry about reading it yourselves. So I'm reading from the NIV and it says, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, you are his daughters. God sent the spirit of his son into our hearts, the spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. So I need some help from the children. Guys, are you listening? I need your help. I've hidden some things around the room that are going to help us understand what it means to be adopted by God. And there should be a slide to help us find them. So there is a key. They're around the edge of the room. So don't go under the chairs and injure people. They're around the edge. There is a key with a key ring on that says home. Maybe have a look along some of these metal grates. There's a heart-shaped key ring. If you've got them, bring them. And if you want to come and sit down here with me, that would be great. There is a packet of chocolate coins. Bring them straight to me, please. There is a photo in a frame of my family. Fantastic. Do you want to sit down there with that? Or you can just give it to me. If you don't want to sit there, that's fine. You can just leave it there. I'm totally open to that. There's a mirror hidden somewhere around the edge of the room as well for somebody to bring. Adults, if you could just turn to the person next to you and just share one or two or three words that you think of when you think about being adopted by God, what that means. Just a few words. That would be great. Oh, it's big, isn't it? Thank you, guys. That's brilliant. All right. I can hear some mumblings. You've had a little think. Thank you, guys. Great finding. I will need a bit more help from you in a little while, so I might call you back. The first thing that has been brought by a wonderful helper is a key. Now, I'm not going to get you to shout out the thoughts you had, but I'm sure that most of them will be represented in what I'm going to share now. I've got a key. Does anybody here lock the door when they leave their house? Yes. All right, I do too. I want everything in my house to be safe and secure. When we're adopted into God's family, we're adopted into a safe and secure family. He promises security to us on earth and security after life. So that is why I have brought a key to help us understand a little bit of what it means to be adopted by God. Now, what does a heart represent? Love. Thank you. I've got no trick questions today. There are no tricks up my sleeve. This represents love. We're loved by God. Yeah? Not for what's been done to us. Not there's things that have been done to us. There's things that we have done. There are situations that we are in that are difficult. Through all of that, God loves us. It's unconditional. Through what we're going to do, God loves us. As he chooses to be our father, yet our earthly experiences of father in this room will vary hugely. God as our father loves us unconditionally. All right, a mirror. I'm not going to do a hands up of who likes looking at themselves in the mirror or not, but I will be honest and say I actually do. I'm one of those people that walks past the shop window and just has a little look to check how I'm doing, and I quite enjoy looking at myself in the mirror. I know that is not how it is for lots of people, right? God loves looking at you. He thinks that you are amazing, yeah? Despite, just like his love, his acceptance, right? I brought this mirror because God accepts us. Whatever we look like, when he chooses to adopt us through Christ into his family, he accepts us, our flaws, our quirks. Some of your quirks are maybe good, some of them a bit irritating. God accepts your quirks. He accepts your mistakes. That's what it is to be adopted, to be accepted. Who brought me this bag of coins? Someone brought me this bag of coins and didn't eat any of them. Well done, thank you. I might share these coins at the end of this morning. I've brought these coins to remind us of our inheritance in God. Yeah, so we're at the end of this verse, it says, God has made you also an heir. We are co-heirs in Christ. We inherit the inheritance of God. We have access to everything that Christ has. Now, I'm an only child. Are there any other only children in here? Oh, one, two, a few. Okay, there are a few. I actually find sharing quite hard sometimes, even as a big grown-up, I find it hard. But that's why I'm going to push myself, and I'm going to share these chocolate coins at the end. But, you know, Jesus could have thought, hang on a minute, I'm not too sure about sharing everything that God's given with this lot. But he didn't. He shares his inheritance. We are co-heirs on earth and in heaven with Christ. Okay, so that is my number four. Number five, oh, my family. This is my family, guys. They're really small up there. They're really probably really small to you there. My family are amazing. So my husband, Ed, and I have adopted both our children. They came from different birth families, and they've got different stories about why they needed to be adopted. But with both of them, after they'd been with us for about 6 months, we went to court. You don't know what to expect the first time you go to court. We went to court to say, we really want these children to belong in our family forever. Okay, so the judge reads all this paperwork and social workers present some stuff, and then they sign an approval that your child can be part of your family legally. Okay, so our children are now legally ours. They completely belong to us. They have the Newton surname that we proudly have. And they will be with us, you know, be part of our family as belonging for the rest of their futures, whatever goes on. And it's the same for us. We belong to God's family. And it's so lovely to join you when you're having a dedication, because it's great to see. I can see that you are a family congregation and that you've welcomed Bethany in to your family. And there are lots of children that need to be welcomed into a family. In Psalm 68, it says, God sets the lonely in family. There are lots of children waiting to be adopted. There's about 3,000 children in our country waiting to be adopted. And there's a need for around 700 foster carers. We can't mirror God's adoption fully, can we? But we can welcome children into family units where they can have security and love, acceptance, inheritance and belonging. And you, amazing church family, can support and love and care for a child as they join your church family. So Many of you probably know that Liz and Will and Faith are preparing to welcome a child into their family through adoption. So it's them that invited me to come and share with you this morning. And I thought it would be helpful for us to have a little bit of a think about some of the experiences and anticipation and feeling of a child before they're adopted. So I need you to get involved with me. If you really don't want to, you don't have to. But I have got an activity to help us have a think about the experiences of a child before they move into their forever family. So I need one volunteer to just come and stand up here. You don't have to say or do anything, just to be with me. You will, Gavin. Thank you, because I was just about to have to pick somebody. I've been a children's pastor, so I'm used to picking. Right, Gavin, I'm going to give you this. Okay. We've got a slightly dramatic scenario here, but Gavin, for the purpose of imagination, you're going to be a three-year-old little girl. So stretch your imagination. Okay, right. Gavin is a three-year-old little girl for the purpose of helping us have a little think here. And Gavin lived with his birth family for the first 6 months of his life. And a decision was made that he needed to live, her name's Anya, because I've practiced this in the car, right? So this three-year-old girl is called Anya. Okay, Anya, right, then moved at 6 months into a foster family to look after her and keep her safe whilst decisions were made about her future. And it's been decided that she is going to move into an adoptive family. Now, for three-year-old Anya, that's really exciting because she can have a pink bedroom. There's a dog in this family, and she really likes dogs. And she's going to have a new mum and dad and sister and brother that are going to belong to her. So there is a lot of excitement, as well as the hope of some new toys. Okay, but we're going to think about some of the people that have been involved in Anya's life while she's been in foster care for the last 2.5 years. So I do need you to shout out. I'm not going to make you move because that would be complicated. But there is a health and safety warning with that activity. Okay, don't chop anybody's heads off with the string because it's going to get a little bit fun. Okay, so I need you just to shout out the names of some professionals that might have been involved. So Anya has got a foster mum and dad. She's got foster aunts and uncles. She's got people that are in her network. But I want you to shout out the name of some professionals. They might be in healthcare, might be in education, might be in a faith context. And as you shout them out, I'm going to bring you a piece of string just to hold on. A social worker. Oh, I'm going to bring you the string, so bear with me. The other option was that you all came up the front, right? So I'll just do my keep fit. Who shouted social worker? I should have unraveled the string before. Oh, hold on, Anya. Oh, right. Anya's actually had three social workers, so we'll use our imagination again. Somebody shouted health visitor. Fantastic. She's had two of them as well. School, yeah, she's been in nursery. Okay, I won't do it too tight so that we're not injuring people here. Some solicitors, yeah, there is a legal process. Don't worry, I don't mind if I get injured whilst doing this. I just don't want to injure any of you. Yeah? A guardian, I'll come back over here in a minute. A guardian has to make decisions for the child. Relatives. I'm going to add to that one just because I'm running out of string. The contact workers, because she's had contact. And there's been 10 contact workers who've been involved. Some police might have been involved. Oh, children, don't do this to me. Right. Doctors. Could one of you hold this to be a doctor? Who's going to be a doctor? None of you. You can be a doctor. Fantastic. A counsellor. You could be a counsellor. Fantastic. This is the way to do it. Okay, there's been a paediatrician. Run out of string here. There's been a paediatrician who's been involved. There's been some consultants. There's been some student social workers and student nurses who've been involved with Anya. Anya, this is a lot of people that have been involved in your life. These people know a lot about Anya. They know a lot about her health, a lot about her education, a lot about her behaviours, a lot about her feelings. Yeah? And some of them came in and out. And some of them have been there for a really long time. So Anya's really excited about moving to her new family. But some of these relationships, in fact, probably all of them, when she moves, are going to be cut. So she's not going to see the doctor. She's moving to a different doctor. And she's not going to see the social worker. Oh, she's not going to see the health visitor anymore. It'll be a new health visitor. Okay, you can pop the string down where you're sitting. Thank you. I'm just going to chop this near you, Anya. Thank you for stretching our imaginations so wonderfully. Okay, thank you everyone for joining in with that. Anya's really excited about moving to her new home, but I wonder if you could just turn to the person next to you and share the most overwhelming feeling that you have as we've done that exercise. If anyone wants to shout their feeling out, feel free, you don't need to. Lost, yeah, feeling of being lost. Loss of relationships, yeah, feeling rejected by all those people, yeah. Fearful, yeah, that's a, fear is a big, strong feeling, yeah. Emotional, loads of emotions. Absolutely, thank you. Yeah, I've done this exercise quite a few times and people suggest maybe feelings of confusion, feelings of being overwhelmed, feelings of being sad. And all of those feelings come alongside all of those feelings of expectation and anticipation and happiness and thrill about a forever family, which is wonderful and is just what's right for Anya, and the pink bedroom and the dog. And so as church family, I think it's really helpful for us to think about when a child joins Liz and Will and Faith, and when a child comes into our church community, they will have lots of different feelings, and their behaviours might show those feelings, or they might lock them all up inside and just smile sweetly at us. But it's really helpful for us to be reminded of that exercise, that there is a lot going on for a little person when they move. Now, I wanted us to have a think this morning how we can support a child as they join Liz and Will and Faith's family. So I wondered if I could have two little helpers who are good at giving things out, because I've got some little coloured people that need to be given out. Thank you. If you want to come and help me, that would be amazing. You can come up as well, girls. That's brilliant. I've got three helpers. That's fantastic. I'll put some in your hand. Try not to stand on that. That's lovely. Good girl. Okay. If you could just take those pots around. If people want to take one or two or three of these little people, then you can do so. Do you want to go and give them to people? Do you want to go and give people? Good girl. Great, they're coming round. Some of you will know Liz and Will and Faith well, and some of you won't. Don't feel that you have to join in with this activity, but I wanted us just to have a think about how we might support them when a little child joins their family. Now, it's not just practical support. It might be emotional support or spiritual support, and it might be practical support too. When my little girl came to join us, we didn't have a lot of preparation, and our church family cooked us meals for 2 weeks using an app called Meal Train that you might do when people have a birth child. And that was such a blessing because we were getting to know a new person, we were finding out loads of information. The funny thing was we got brought a meal and a pudding every day. So we managed the meals and a slice of the pudding. But by the end of week one, we had like seven the rests of puddings. And our freezer became very full for quite a while with pudding. And when children move in for adoption, quite often you don't have many people round. It's a bit different to when you have a birth child. And everybody's round, aren't they, holding the child. But quite often you have a period of time where it's just your family unit, really, so that that child can adjust from that change and all those losses and start to form an attachment with you. So we had all this pudding to ourselves to eat for a few weeks, which was both fantastic and fattening. Thank you, ladies. You've done a wonderful job giving those out. I'm sure we know this already, and you've kind of indicated through the wonderful support that you've offered in the dedication of Bethany, but support is ongoing. So what I'm going to ask you to do is have a think about some of the support you might offer in the early days when a child moves in with Liz and Will, and some of the support you might offer on an ongoing kind of basis. Sometimes things are tricky, helping children who've had traumatic starts and difficult starts, and sometimes you just need someone who can give you a break or do some babysitting, cut your lawn, shout out, listen, well, anything you want. This is your ironing. Yeah, this is you make your needs known. This is it. But actually, as well as welcoming a little one and adjusting to that new addition, you're helping them with all their trauma and their challenge. And you've got social workers visiting your home, and you've got lots of bits of paperwork. It is a whole new world. So I would love for you to write on one side, there's a pen under your seat, your name. I'm sorry they're so small. If they're too small, I have got some post-it notes here for you. And on the other side, write just what it is that you would like to offer. And I'm not going to give these to Liz and Will because it's too hectic and busy when a child moves in to sort anything out. I'm going to give these to someone in your church who can oversee that support. So we had a prayer WhatsApp group. We could just stick our prayer requests in and people prayed for us. It might be that you're a prayer. It might be that you're a knitter. Okay? It might be that you're a listening ear. All of that support's amazing. So jot those down. What I love is that you're all intent writing things down. I think that's beautiful. That's really lovely just to stand here at the front and see you all just having a think and writing stuff down. I'm not going to collect those in. Now there's a table that I've put at the back just with some stuff about Home for Good and what we do. And there's a little white box there for you to put them in. And there are plenty more little people if you couldn't fit everything on that you would like to offer. But thank you on behalf of Liz and Will for what you're prepared to offer. Thank you on behalf of a little child that God knows. That may not be known to them yet. Okay, and thank you on behalf of God because you are his hands and feet. You are part of family in action. So thank you for that. And before I finish up, I'm going to finish up with a prayer, but I just thought I'd share a little bit more about what Home for Good do. Some of you may have heard of us and some may not, we do what I'm doing now, which is raise awareness of the need of vulnerable children. There are a lot of children that can't live with their birth families who just need to be in a safe and loving, secure place of belonging and stability, like we talked about earlier when we thought about what it means to be adopted. So we journey with people who think that they could welcome them into their home, maybe once a month on respite as a fostering arrangement, or maybe forever through adoption. It looks very different for different families. That might be you. You might think that you could do that. We help people access support, so we help set up support groups. We have a website with so many fantastic resources to help people at different stages, different parts of understanding what fostering and adoption is. And we influence policy and practice in the UK. So this week, some of my colleagues were at 10 Downing Street. There is a disproportionate number of black boys waiting in our country to be adopted, and they wait almost double the amount of time as other children. There are sibling groups and children with additional needs who wait a long time, and we're working with the government to say, actually, could the church, could people who love God be part of the answer to these problems? And can we look at your policies and your procedures and your practice and help make sure they are totally honouring to children and the families around them? So we do that as well. Underneath your seats, I've put a little count me in card. And if you're thinking you might want to find out more about fostering adoption, you can tick that. If you want to find out a little bit more about supporting people, you can tick that. Or if you just want to be kept up to date with what we're doing, that's great. And if you felt you wanted to give financially, everything we do costs money. We're a relatively new charity. We've only been around for 5 years, but we passionately believe that the church and Christ's people are the answer to challenging situations in our country. So if you feel you'd like to give financially, you can set up a standing order. We give a free book to people when you do that. And we've got a book that you can buy as well, the Home for Good book, which looks a bit more in detail than I've been able to about God's call for us to care for vulnerable children. So if you want to fill out a Count Me In card before you go, you can, and you can leave that with me. And I've also put these, you can leave these under your seats just for now, but I'd love you to take them home and have a read. They're just some of the do's and don'ts to support families. Things you might already know, but I bet there'll be one or two that you just hadn't thought of. That's what it was like when I read this list. So it's really helpful just to prepare you for thinking about the right way to speak about things and respond to things. I'd love us to finish in prayer together. Wow, can you read that? You only have to read the bit in bold. Right? You can shut your eyes for the rest of it if you want. But I would love to just lead us as a group of people who are adopted into God's family to pray for the children that are vulnerable and to commit ourselves to hearing his call on our lives to respond to the challenging situations that children find them in. So if we could read the bits in bold together, and then I'll lead us in prayer with the other bits. Okay. Father of the fatherless, thank you for adopting us into your family. Thank you that you chose us despite our sin, and that you paid a great price so that we could know your love and welcome. We're sorry for when we forget this truth and do not live as your beloved children. We're sorry for when we have not shared this love and welcome with others. Lord Jesus, we pray for vulnerable children in our communities. Where there's been neglect, would you bring restoration and pour out your grace? Where there has been abuse, would you bring healing and pour out your love? Where there is loss and grief, would you bring wholeness and pour out your peace? Where there is anger and hurt, would you bring comfort and pour out your hope? Where there is confusion and the future is unsure, would you bring understanding and call your people to respond. Holy Spirit, equip us to take up the cause. Show us how we can play our part. Use us to make a difference. We offer you our hearts and ask that you would guide us along your paths. Amen. Thank you for having me share with you, and I will stick around at the end, and I am happy to chat to people about what I've shared further if that's helpful.